Thank you for joining us at the City Light International Assembly. We're a church committed to raising lights and maximizing lives. This is a special ministration by Pastor Lan and Jiwala. It is our prayer that you be richly blessed. And now the word.
Praise Jesus. So we're going to move on today. Today I want to share with you, still on our theme for the month. The theme for the month is power together. Everybody say power together.
Power together.
So we've been exploring this month just some, you know, we're just scratching the surface of some of the things that, some of the abilities, the blessings of the unity of believers of the church. Some of the power that comes from being together, working together, doing things together, and so on. Quick revision. The first Sunday we did what we call the beautiful life. Amen. Everybody say living the beautiful life. Living the beautiful life. How good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. Or like the Message Bible says, how beautiful, how wonderful when brothers and sisters get along. Psalm 133 verse 1. How wonderful, how beautiful when brothers and sisters get along. So it's a beautiful thing when brothers and sisters get along. So to live the beautiful life, to have the beauty of God upon your life is good for you to make every effort to get along with brothers, other brothers and sisters. Amen. So we looked at all the different aspects. What makes it beautiful? You know, it's beautiful praying together, serving together is beautiful, mission together is beautiful, laughing together is good, whatever. It's just beautiful. Amen. And then we studied 2 weeks ago last week, together faith. Everybody say together faith. We talked about the power that comes when believers join together and release their faith toward a particular goal. So we looked at the story of those men who carried the paralyzed guy to Jesus. And the Bible says Jesus saw their faith. Didn't see just his faith. He saw a collective faith. And we talked about how to practice together faith. Join together with other believers. Have a prayer partner. Talk to people. Pray together, stand together concerning issues that you're going through. Reach out to people. Let them stand in faith with you. And, power is released. And then I introduced very briefly something that I'll be talking about more, later. I wanted to have something for us to just land the service last week, but it's something that I'm going to be sharing a little bit more about our faith vision, FAITH, what we're focusing on as a church together, call it Vision 2020. You'll be hearing more about that as we move on. So today I want to talk about refreshed together. Everybody say refreshed together.
Refreshed together.
One of the biggest problems now, and I've been studying a little bit about this, is stress. That people face stress, depression, burnout. And this is not just those who don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, but even in the church, stress is a big deal. Burnout is a big deal. It's a big deal. There are many people who are going about living life, but they do not know that. Well, maybe they know it, but some may not know that they're not operating at their optimal level. You know, they're either depressed or they are stressed. They are stressed. Stress affects, the way you sleep, affects, eventually begins to spill out into your relationships with other people. You find yourself very cranky. You find yourself reading meaning into things. you find yourself becoming irritated, not knowing that the root cause is really you are stressed. You need some spiritual renewal. You need some stress relief. You know, I was going through some statistics, about stress. I don't know if, we have, the statistic about how stressed people are. Do you have it? Okay. If you can just, look at it. Like, you know, it's like stress is an epidemic. So, it's a level scary statistics about stress and what to do about it. They said it costs $300 billion a year, to manage stress. You know, just annual cost to employers in stress-related health and healthcare and missed work. Go up, number two. The 77% of people regularly experience physical symptoms caused by stress. So sometimes even the physical symptoms we feel in our bodies is actually stress related. Go. It said 73% of people regularly experience psychological symptoms caused by stress. So not just physical symptoms, but also psychological symptoms. You know, mental, you know, the way we react and all that. 30% of people feel they are living with extreme stress. 48% feel that their stress has increased over the past 5 years. 76% cited money and work as the leading cause of their stress. 48 people reported lying awake at night due to stress, like they find it difficult to sleep. 54% says stress has caused them to fight with people close to them. 60% of 26,000 workers in the United States were so unhappy with their current jobs that they would prefer to choose a new career. 87% of workers worldwide are emotionally disconnected from their workplaces and are less likely to be productive. Unhappy workers are 10% less productive. So what can you do about it? This is so interesting. The solution to stress, you notice if you look at it, also there are things that you do individually with yourself, to yourself, but a lot of them have to do with what you do with people. For example, say good morning. Everybody say good morning. I'm saying good morning. Volunteer. Now we'll just go volunteer, do something. Mentor a new employee or mentor someone or compliment someone else. Come in well rested, you know, move up. So that's individual. Move up a little bit. Is that it? Get away from drugs. Go outside during the break. Smile at a colleague. Smile at a colleague. So you discover that a lot of, you know, a sizable percentage of this stress management thing, and you can read more about it, really, really have to do with doing things with other people. And this is very, very scriptural. So I want to show you the scriptural way to live a life that is constantly refreshed. Amen. Hallelujah. So Paul told the Romans that, you know, he tried to get to the Romans from the beginning. He said, I want to come and be with you. But then in Romans chapter 11, verse 25, he says that, he said, by God's will, that I may come to you with joy and be refreshed together with you. Everybody say refreshed together. So that's where I got the title for today's sermon. That by God's will, I may come to you with joy and be refreshed together with you. So Paul had been going about his missionary journey, doing all that. But he says, you know, I just want to come. Romans, I just want to come and be with you. And my goal for being with you is to just come and be refreshed together with you. At the beginning, he said, I want to come so that our mutual faith, we talked about that last week, you know, that, you know, my faith can encourage yours and your faith can encourage mine. But I want to come and be with you just to be refreshed. So the Apostle Paul wanted to be with people, to deal with his own stress. Amen. To deal with stress. So to refresh means to provide new vigor and energy. New vigor and energy. In other words, you just get new energy. You just invigorated, like new energy just comes. To stimulate the memory or to make fresh again. To cheer a person, to reinvigorate a person or the mind or the spirit of someone. So it's like an infusion of new energy, an infusion of new joy. It's like a stimulation of the mind, a lifting of the spirit. That's what the word refreshed means. To be stimulated in what we're looking at, to be stimulated. Now, you need to know that every one of us need to be refreshed from time to time. Because as we go about life, we get drained. Can I get a witness in the house? We get drained. And there are several reasons about it. I mean, there's several reasons to it, but we get drained. First of all, the Bible tells us that when you are doing good work, you are not even exempted. You know, sometimes you are doing something good. You are not even exempted from stress. Galatians chapter 6 verse 9 says that, don't be weary in well-doing. Galatians 6 verse 9, don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. So you are doing, what you are doing is good. But there's also there's a tendency to grow weary when you are doing good. There's a tendency to grow weary. So, you know, a lot of us have altruistic motives. We do a lot of wonderful things. We do things for church. You know, we do things in church. We do things for people. We serve people. The fact that you're doing what is good and God has sent you to do it does not preclude you from what? From, you know, experiencing weariness. You have to take some precaution so that you don't become weary. There are pastors that quit the ministry because they don't take precaution to refresh themselves. There are a lot of workers in the urban ministry and all this stuff that they quit because they don't take precaution in refreshing themselves. You know, in working in this urban setting for, you know, for some, maybe about 11 years or so, you know, now, I've seen different things and I've seen people show sign of stress. In fact, I've seen people quit what God wants them to do because they just kept on going and going. And then they just get to a point of, and they're so overstressed. And then the next thing is they quit it. And they may quit it for other reasons, but the underlying reason is actually stress. It was not managed. It's not properly managed. So if you want to last in your calling, if you want to last in life, have good relationships with people, you have to learn how to deal with this stress thing. You have to learn how to get yourself refreshed on a constant basis. And I want to share with you, you know, one of the ways that I get refreshed over the years, you know, in ministry, in what I do, in life and all that. So, you know, Isaiah chapter 40 verse 31 says, even the youth. So this is irrespective of age. Okay? So you can be young and vigorous. It said, even youth shall faint and be weary. And the young men, so it's irrespective of gender. So this is not, you know, it's not just, you know, women or men. Even the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be what? Weary. And they shall walk and not faint. So meaning that, yes, stress is a reality. Weariness is a reality. Something that wants to come. God has made provisions for you to be refreshed. God has made provisions for you to be reinvigorated. And I tell you, we must take advantage of God's provisions, or we will either stop, quit what God has called us to do, or we will lose our cutting edge. We'll lose our cutting edge. You also need to be aware that Satan wants to get you tired. Someone made a statement. He said, if the devil cannot stand in front of you, look up. If he can't stand in front of you, you know, because you know, he said, rebuke the devil and he'll flee from you. You can see the devil, you'll rebuke him. He said, he will get behind you and begin to push you. If he can't stand at your front and get you, he will get behind you and begin to push you. You know what the push is? Walk, 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 walk. I'm doing something good. I'm doing something great. I'm doing something good. I'm doing it. You know, you're just going, 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 going. Oh, you have no time to call anybody. You have no time to just sit down and just go laugh and play with people. Just going, 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 going. Husband and wife, they have no time together. You know, children, they have nothing. Just going, 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 going. He pushes you. Because he can't stand in front, he can't get in front of you, so he gets behind your back and pushes you. But the same effect. The same effect. Daniel chapter 7 verse 25. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 25 talks about Satan wearying the saints. Like, you know, plans to weary the saints. To get the saints tired. Amen. So it's a real thing. It's a real thing. Okay? But thank God, because God has given us very simple ways to refresh ourselves on a consistent basis. He said he will speak against the Most High and oppress his saints. Now, this one says oppress. You know, try the NLT or other translation. Or even KJV, it says he will, try another translation. ESV, try ESV. The ESV says he will, KJV, he said he will weary. Yeah, he shall wear out the saints. Wear out the saints of the Most High. He will try everything to wear out the saints of the Most High. Hallelujah. Everybody say, I will not be worn out. Say, I will not burn out. Because I'm going to use the wisdom of God. Now, one of the other things about stress and being burned out and being worn out is that you lose your cutting edge. You lose your cutting edge. In other words, you might be efficient, but you will not be effective. And nobody cares about efficiency when it is not effective. Do you get what I'm saying? So you might be efficient, but you will not be effective. You lose your effectiveness. You lose your cutting edge. Edge. You know, that, Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verse 10 is one of the verse, the scripture I like a lot. It says, if the axe head is dull, then you will need to exert more strength. But skill or wisdom brings what? Success. If the axe is dull and one does not sharpen it, the edge, then he must use more strength. But wisdom brings success. So many times, we want to exert more strength. Right? Do you get it? You're trying to cut down a tree. Your axe head is not sharpened. So you have to keep using more strength. So in many cases, we try to use a lot more, like strength, like to apply strength. You know, strength in our relationship, strength, you know, on our jobs, strength, more strength. Rather than taking some time off, get yourself sharpened, receiving wisdom, building up your skills so that you can address the same thing easier. If that guy just took some time to go and sharpen his axe head, he'll come out and then what? In fact, even if he takes some time, I'm just bringing it to modern age. If he takes some time, I'll tell him that it's not only axe that they use to cut down trees now. There's power saw. Amen. So you can get the power saw. Wisdom will help you succeed. So everybody say after me, say, I need to what? To sharpen my what? My cutting edge. Sharpen my cutting edge.
You know, I want to use some example. For example, you know, for the first half of this year, I went and went and went and went. I did 2 trips to Nigeria and I was just flying all over the place. And then came back, you know, I had to move house, had to do something. I was just doing, going. Now I'm having to manage some symptoms in my body because I overstressed myself. So what I'm preaching to you right now, I'm also preaching to myself. Amen. Because we need to preserve this body. Amen. We need to preserve it so that we can be sharper or we can continue. We need to preserve our relationships. You know, if you have been cranky with everybody all around you, you are stressed. Do you get it? Don't blame the other people. You are what? Stressed. Take some time. Okay? Take time off. Do you know that whatever you are doing, if you break down and you go, it will continue? Have you ever told yourself? Have you seen the way they do it on Facebook? Muhammad Ali dies. Everybody talks and then 2 weeks later, everybody has forgotten. This person died. Oh, my God, priest died. You know, everybody talks. Oh, he really made a difference. Everybody has forgotten. And then you listen to Usher instead. Whether you are a preacher, whether you are whatever, no matter the impact you make, you are like somebody who put his hand inside a bucket of water. The moment you remove your hand, is there a hole that remains there? It's immediately filled up. That's it. So no, there's nothing that you do that you are irreplaceable. Did you get that? There's nothing you do that you are irreplaceable. The work that you want to kill yourself about, if anything happens, they will just fire you. So you are no longer effective anymore. So we need to hire somebody else. So you need, in this area, you need to be a little bit selfish. Amen. You get what I'm saying? Selfish in a good way. Take care of yourself. And I'll tell you the kind of selfishness I'm talking about, in 1 Timothy. I was talking to a preacher there, you know, but it applies to everybody. 1 Timothy chapter 4, I don't know the exact verse, but it says, take it to yourself. In the KJV, take it to yourself. To yourself. To yourself. You can try verse 12 or 13. Take it to yourself first. And then he said, and then to the flock. It's called self-care. Everybody say self-care. Self-care. It's called self-care. Take it to yourself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, you will save yourself and those who hear you. So preachers or people who do stuff, and they think that they need to save other people first. No, you need to save yourself first, you can save other people. You get it? You got to be healthy. What you don't have, you can't give. You have to be spiritually healthy. There are people who are doing a lot of work, but they are inside, they are not healthy. They are like sinkholes. A sinkhole looks, you know, we had a sinkhole here, you know, that we, you know, in the parking lot that we did. Maybe after the service, you can go and look at it and see what a sinkhole is. The place, you know, we tarred it and all that last year or so, it was 2 years ago, and everything looked good one day. Then one day we just came to the office and then we saw it, that it just sank inside. That's the way a sinkhole is. It looks good on the outside, but then suddenly it just crumbles. You don't want to be a sinkhole. You want to be strong on the inside. Everybody say, I want to be strong on the inside. Not a sinkhole. You say, what happened to him? But you know, what happened to her? But she used to, but she's now, you know. Self-care. Keep a close watch on how you live. You keep a close watch on it. Your health and all that. Keep a close watch. Amen. Keep a close watch. And then on your teaching. Amen. So there's a very good kind of selfishness, because that selfishness helps other people. So that's what I'm talking about today. How do you stay refreshed? How do you stay refreshed? What I'm sharing today is not the only way you stay reinvigorated, but it is one of the most important ways. As you saw in the graphics that I showed you earlier, how do you keep stress out? How do you stay
stress-free. Number one, go to number two of your outline. Refreshed through time, talking together. Write it down. Refreshed through time. That's number two. Time, talking together. Talking together. Talking together. Talking together. From, you know, studying about stress relief and, you know, reinvigoration, I discovered, in fact, I read a book, you know, I went to read a book I'd read before, some, you know, 2 days ago. I went to read a particular chapter, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, and I read the chapter on sharpening the saw, one of the laws, and it was just talking about the different ways you sharpen the saw. Now, one of the key ways to stay refreshed is to have meaningful and stimulating conversations. Everybody say meaningful and stimulating conversations. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5 to 7. He said, when we arrived at Macedonia, Paul talked, okay, there was no rest for us. We faced conflict from every direction, with battles on the inside and fear on the outside. But God, who encourages those who are discouraged, encouraged us by the arrival of Titus. His presence was a joy, but so was the news he brought of the encouragement he received from you. So Titus received encouragement. Then he went to Paul when Paul was going through a hard time and shared the news. And then the next thing, the encouragement came to Paul. So Paul became rejuvenated again in his ministry, in his calling, because somebody came and had a stimulating conversation with him. You know, I sat down with a lady, you know, with somebody some days ago who was about to just quit and stop everything. My wife and I just sat down and then we talked. We just talked for maybe about an hour or two. By the time the person left, the person is like, wow, I got it now. I'm not quitting. I'm going. Amen. I'm going forward. I have had times like that, that it's conversations. Conversations with friends. Just talking, either on the phone, but just being together with friends and just having stimulating conversations. I find myself refreshed. Sometimes if you're able to talk, right, about what is inside of you, what you bottled up, it's like half of the problem is solved. You get it? They call it catharsis in psychology. You know, it's like you are letting out the bile. Yeah, just talking. So some people, they just say, wow, what a wonderful conversation. All they needed was somebody to talk to. Don't bottle things up. Find someone that you trust, that you can talk to. We can be refreshed together. Conversations. Proverbs 27 verse 17, the message says, you can use steel to sharpen steel. And one friend sharpens what? Another. One friend sharpens another. Iron sharpens iron. So a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. One friend sharpens another. You sharpen as we talk and relate, we sharpen our saw. Amen. A friendly discussion, I love that, the Living Bible, the same one says, a friendly discussion is as stimulating as the sparks that fly when iron strikes iron. A friendly discussion. You know, there are some stressful discussion, right? So we're not talking about just all discussions. There are some discussions and some people, you talk with them, they add to your stress. But we're talking about friendly discussions. Stimulating discussions. Talking about things that are all related to your work. Talking about nature. Sharing the Bible. Sharing testimonies. Just lifting up one another. That's what we're talking about. Amen. And you know, and that our text, it said that I may come together, we'll come to you with joy and be refreshed together with you. So write it down. Visit with the right people at the right time.
having stimulating discussions is one of God's ways of refreshing us. Home visits, small group time like the GQs that we have is a great avenue for this. If your GQ adds to your stress, find another one. It's supposed to be relaxing. Amen. It's supposed to be relaxing. You're not supposed to be all that formal. In church, we're all this formal and all that. It's supposed to come relax and talk. Amen. And eat and share. That's the goal of the small groups. For people to be able to talk and share. Visit one another. Just visit. Paul said, I just want to visit the Romans. Visit somebody. Come. I mean, there's nothing wrong. Is there anything wrong in visiting people in their house? I know we live in a society where everybody's on their own. And that's why there's a lot of suicide and all that. They said the stress level during winter is high. So people don't go. They can't go anywhere. But there's nothing wrong in you calling somebody and saying, let's come visit. Come visit. Amen. If you don't have anybody to come and visit me. Amen. I welcome you. Visit. Talk. And don't let every one of your discussion be about business. Okay? Take time to talk. Please write this decision, my decision. I will deliberately and strategically make time to visit with other believers and have stimulating conversations. I will deliberately and strategically make time to visit with other believers and have stimulating conversations. It's one of the ways you manage and remove stress and weariness and get refreshed. Number two, or number three, refreshed through time out together. Time out together. Everybody say time out. Time out together. Sometimes the visit is not enough. Sometimes you just have to take time out, right? Just go off and do something different. So, Mark chapter 6, 31, the NLT, they said, then Jesus said to, he told his disciples, he said, let us go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while. He said this because there were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his apostles didn't even have time to eat. They were so busy. People were just coming and, oh, I want healing. I want this. I want that. And Jesus is a good leader. He saw that, you know what, the way these people are going, Peter will soon get cranky. Judas will get tempted some more. And the sons of thunder will get angry. And before you know it, the people that are coming and going, they will start getting angry with them. They will turn some of the crowds away. So what did he say? He said, what? Hey guys, time out. Everybody say time out. So Jesus called for a timeout. But Jesus, the people are still coming. Timeout. But Jesus, look at that paralyzed man. He needs help. But people need your counsel. But people are suffering. Souls are perishing. Timeout. Timeout. Because you want to maintain your effectiveness. You are more effective if you took some time out and you come back and you get more results than for you to just continue and continue and you are not getting any results. Get it. Time out. Listen, I'm saying time out to some of you. Amen. Time what? Out. Take some time off. So let's go. The old man, Christian, something Bible said, study Bible said, come away by yourselves to a remote place and rest for a while. The Net Bible says, he said to them, no, not the Net Bible, that's an error. Come with me privately to an isolated place and rest a while. The second one is not in the Bible. So he said to them, let us go to a place where we can be alone to rest what? For a while. Everybody say rest for a while. So let's look at some of the elements of a refreshing timeout.
some element of a refreshing timeout from what Jesus said. The first one, the first thing he said, let's write it, get together, right? Get together somewhere different. The word there is different. Get together somewhere different. Somewhere different from your normal everyday where you go, right? Do you get it? Just switch. If all the time it is the, Yasha restaurant that you go, please switch. The other restaurant. There are other ones. If all your, you know, all the time that you and your spouse or you and your friends, you want to celebrate, it is just one place. Switch it out. Amen. There's just something about changing the environment that brings refreshing. Switch it. There are some people, house is the only place. So. They don't go out anywhere, just inside the same house. No wonder you're stretched. Our home is the best. Yeah, I'm not saying home is not the best. But you need time away from home sometime. Amen? Go somewhere different. Do you get it? Take your wife out. Or wife, take your husband out. Just go somewhere different. So, somewhere different. He said, let's go off. So Jesus said, let's go off to a different place. Let's leave this setting and let's go off. Amen? Number two. Go somewhere together private. Go somewhere together private. Jesus used the statement by ourselves. Now, what this is telling is remove distraction. Eliminate as much distractions as possible. If you want to be refreshed, eliminate distractions. You might have to shut off your cell phone. You might have to shut off Facebook. Amen. And all the alerts. But that's part of what is causing stress. Some people cannot sleep because of the alert of their phones. Wow! You just receive a message. Bam! You know, they said it scientifically that, you know, there's something in your brain that induces sleep, right? I've forgotten the name of it. So it secretes something and induces sleep. It cannot work very well when it's still seeing light. There's a reason why God said the sun will go down, quote and unquote, and everybody goes to bed. Do you get it? Because light and sleep are not compatible. So there are some people that even sleep, but they are only in REM sleep. REM is rapid eye movement sleep. That's where you have dreams. REM sleep is supposed to be when you are just going to bed or when you're about to wake up. If you are constantly having dreams and you remember them, you are only having REM sleep. But there's a deeper level of sleep where you have the dream and you can never remember it. Amen? Some of you have wondered, like, how come that it is when I'm having the dream and then as I'm having the dream, somebody just was about to do something, then I just woke up. Yeah, because, excuse me, that dream state, some water please. That dream state is, the dream state is the waking up state. Do you get it? So if you sleep at that level, you are not really rejuvenating yourself. Amen. You need to sleep deeper. We need to sleep deeper so that we can be more refreshed. So shut off the phones. Shut it off. Shut off the TV. Shut off all those stuff. Cut off distractions. And get rejuvenated. God created sleep so that your body can shut down. Your brain can shut down and reboot itself. And when it reboots itself, it is when you sleep. Have you noticed? Do you know when healing takes place? Healing takes place. The natural healing of your body takes place during sleep. Even children, they grow during sleep. So when the system is shut down, then your body, the healing process starts to work. So if you don't sleep well, your body will not heal well. Invest some money in a good bed. Amen. Stop sleeping on Sprig.
Amen. I mean, just something nice, something that you can sleep on. Amen. That makes you feel comfortable because it's part of you dealing with this this issue. Okay? Number one, get together somewhere without distraction, a quiet place. Get together somewhere without distractions. So he said, let's go to a quiet place without distraction. A quiet place, quiet of all the noise and all that. Number four, get together somewhere with food and fun. Everybody say food and fun. Because it says that they had not even had time to eat. They were so busy, they did not have time to eat. Now listen, there's a time when you fast. But when you are not fasting, you must eat. Everybody say, eating is good. Good food. Amen. Stop feeling guilty when you eat good food. Don't let anybody tell you that you're not spiritual when you eat good food. God created food. Amen. It was part of the commission he gave Adam. He said, after he told him, have dominion, he said, see, I've created all these things for you to eat. And Jesus Christ, his ministry was characterized with food. That they called him a glutton. Amen. Because he was always eating. Hallelujah. Today, when you get to eat well, amen. And if anybody says you are eating too much, tell them, Pastor La. Don't give any answer. Because food is part of how you rejuvenate your body if you want to last. Amen. But what about eating together? You see, there's an added thing to what? To eat. When you eat together. When you sit together and you are eating, you know, with a friend and all that, you know, and then all the laughter and everything that comes with it, it's stress relieving. So Jesus said, let's go somewhere fun. That's what he said. Because when you talk about food, you're talking about fun. Let's go somewhere fun. We've not had time to eat. Let's go somewhere where we can eat. Amen. Hallelujah. Get together somewhere rejuvenating and recreating. That's the next one. Rejuvenating and recreating. He said, you know, so that we can rest. We can rest. Rest is about recreating, rejuvenating, a different way that is done. Somewhere that allows you to rest. And then the final one, go together somewhere for a short period. In other words, a vacation or we say for a short while that we can rest a while. So this is not what you do on a permanent basis. That's a problem if you're always on vacation. So, Pastor Lam preached that we should reduce stress. So, I just retired. I'm off. That's another problem. That will give you stress. Financial stress. And other forms of stress. So Jesus said a while. Someone say a while. So you do it temporarily and then you come back to what? To work. God gave us the pattern. He said 6 days you must work and one day you must what? Rest. 1/7. So, work more than rest. You got it? Not rest or anytime you rest all the time and you work a little, you will have stress. And anytime you work 7 and you do not rest at all, you will also have stress. Because the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. So fun time resting, playing, night out. What about all those night out, you know? Kids have been having, I've seen kids having, you know, what about, you know, boys like, my friend and I, we have boys, whenever I get the time to be with my friends, we have night out. We just talk and laugh and we knock our wives out. They don't know what, you know, what we're discussing. They just be hearing us laughing. Right, baby? So she has learned to leave us alone. And I'm like, just be laughing. We're relieving our stress. You know, I know ladies are loud. You know, girls, ladies, you have that too. I think guys have more time playing together than girls and ladies, right? Isn't that true? Paul, ladies are too complicated. Yeah. You guys are too complicated. You know, it's very hard for you to laugh together. You know, guys, we are very, you know, we're very easy. We just play, we do whatever we can fight and then we are back again, you know. But ladies, they fight. They will never talk to each other again forever. Because they are still thinking about it. You guys need to relax. Please tell all the ladies and say relax. Now, nobody's looking at how you look. Nobody's coming and saying, oh yeah, you know, she didn't wear these very well. You know, look at her head, look at her hair. She has not even, you know, that's your mind. And you don't need to dress up and do all those things to, you know, for a night out. What? The guys should take care of the kids. Yes! And if the guys can't take care, pay for it for daycare. No, seriously, you need to rest. Amen. Okay? So time out. You know. And you know, next week we're going to be having time out. That's a good way to practice it. We're going to the beach. So I've scheduled myself to walk. Cancel the walk. It's once a year. Take time off. You will find, you see, whenever I hit a wall when I was doing my PhD and all that, or even generally, whenever I hit a wall and I don't know what to do, I call a timeout. I'll go and watch a movie. Or I'll just read a fiction book. Or I'll just take a walk or bike or whatever. Or call somebody and just talk and laugh and all that. Or just go to bed and sleep. When I wake up or when I'm back from the, in fact, it might be doing when I'm watching the movie, all related to the problem that I'm going through. That's where the solution will come. In fact, you see all these inventions and all that, you know, people, if you go and read their stories, they've been working on this, running their, you know, just cracking their head to try and find the solution. And they all will find the solution when they are doing something different. Archimedes was in the bathtub. That's when Archimedes' principle came and said, Eureka, I just found it. He's been cracking his head for a long time. What makes something to float? That's why, you know, we have all these ship right now, you know. We can build all these large ships that can carry cars and planes and all that. It was from his principle. It was in the bathtub, just relaxing. The guy who invented the TV, the guy has been trying to work on it. Then one day, he just said, let me go to the farm and just do some, you know, something therapeutic. And he was doing that. And he saw the plow going like this, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And, you know, plowing. He said, wow, what if the signal, we can make signal that can run, you know, like that, very fast, very fast, very fast, from one side to the other. That's how TV came about. Tesla, alternating current that we use right now, he found it by watching a horse gallop. It's like, this horse is galloping. So it's like a throw. So what if, you know, you have another one that's how it came. Doing what? Something different for what they are trying to solve. But we just focus on the problem and then we get locked up. Take time out. Everybody say take time out. Chicago is so beautiful in the summer. There's all these beaches and all that. I was just driving to church and I was just, wow. You know, some people take advantage of it. You see people swimming and doing all that. They're having fun, but you always walk every time. It's walk because you have to save the world. Last one. Refreshed in God's presence together. So the decision for that one, I will deliberately make time to go out with other believers just to have fun, to eat and to rest. So refreshed in God's presence together. So this is Jesus saying. So this one is, you know, the first one is time talking together, right? Discussion. The second one is time out together, playing. But this one is more serious. Do you get it? To be refreshed. You take time out with other people to be in God's presence. Like a conference or like a prayer retreat or something, or, you know, just something to sharpen your edge. Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28 to 30, Message translation, are you tired? Worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me. And you will recover your life. I will show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy on you or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me
And you will learn to live freely and lightly. So Jesus said, come, just come. Come, come away. So when I go for conferences sometimes, I travel, you know, just go elsewhere. I discovered that you have better perspective of what you are doing when you are not inside what you are doing. And you come back more refreshed. You take some time off. Marriage, people who are married, go, their marriage conference. Moody has Gary Chapman, who wrote 5 love languages. He has a seminar at Moody every year. And it's always fun. My wife and I have been there before. It's a fun thing. Go, just go out and go and listen to somebody. Let them go and listen to other people laugh about their marriage. You get, and talk about it. And you see that all the things that you are, is stressing you about your marriage is something that you can laugh about. Just go out and relax. In God's presence. In God's presence. When the council saw the boldness of Peter and John, so these guys were bold, they just healed the sick, and could see they were obviously uneducated and non-professionals. They were amazed and realized that being with Jesus, what being with Jesus had done for them. And the council could hardly discredit the healing of the man that was ill standing right there beside them. So these people had been with Jesus. Let me tell you the hallmark of the transformation of these guys that they mentioned here. It was the Transfiguration Mountain. They said, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and he led them up to a high mountain by themselves. Someone say by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And there appeared to them Moses and all that, Elijah talking with Jesus. And Peter said to him, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. The translation says, my Lord, it is beautiful for us that we should be here. And if you wish, we'll make 3 booths. One for Moses, one for Elijah. Amen. It's good to be here. So these guys that the Sanhedrin saw later doing miracles, they said, these guys are ignorant, they are unprofessionals, they did not have the natural skills, they had been with Jesus. They were there with him on the mountain of transfiguration. They saw it and it transformed their lives. There are some things like that, some conferences, some things like that, that you go for and it becomes a mountain of transfiguration for you. For example, most of the leaders of the church this week were going to Alabama. And we're going to be there for 3 days. Just listening, being blessed. Amen. We're going to come back refreshed. That's part of what I'm talking about. Thank you. So that's part of what I'm talking about. Just going. All right. Praise God. Everybody say time in God's presence together. There are so many conferences going around in the city. Retreats. It's one of those things too. Taking retreats together. I've taken retreats together. I take retreats together with people. Friends, even church members. We go out together. We go somewhere just to pray. It's a very refreshing thing. Jesus does it a lot. Takes people along and they pray and they worship. Listen to me. Do whatever. You come back refreshed. You come back refreshed. Repent. And return so that your sins may be wiped away. In order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And then you have made known to me the path of life. In your presence is what? Fullness of joy. And at your right hand they are what? Pleasures forevermore. There's something about the presence of God. And us all gathered together in his presence. Learning from him the unforced rhythm of grace. There's something about it. Hallelujah. That lifts us up and sharpens our cutting edge and takes us to new levels. So stress management is a lot of relational work. So this one, summarize, we learn, that the word here is learn. We learn together in his presence. We experience world-impacting transformation together. World-impacting transformation together. He said, you know, they saw the boldness of Peter and John. They perceived that they had been with Jesus and they saw the healing that had taken place. We experience joy and refreshing together. It is simply beautiful to take time away to be together in God's presence. My decision, I will deliberately make time to spend time with other believers to learn and be together in God's presence. Amen. Everybody repeat, let's repeat the points together one by one. Everybody say, refreshed through time talking together. Refreshed through time out together. Refreshed through time together in God's presence. If you start practicing this, you make this a part of your life periodically. You take advantage of it. Take time to laugh with other believers, to play with other believers, to be on serious. Amen? With other believers. On serious. Because we're sometimes too serious. You know, to do that, you will find that your stress level will reduce, if not eliminated. You'll find yourself living a more refreshed, invigorated, and inspired life. If we just make sure that we don't spend all our time walking and trying to save the world. Amen. So, I'm commanding you to go watch a movie tonight, if you can. Amen. There's a baby shower. Hope I'm not giving away the secret. I'm sorry. Time out next week. Games. Girls' night out. Boys' night out. Even sometimes, you know, like, Joe and I have been having some wonderful time. You know what we're having a wonderful time on? Repairing cars. I'm telling you. Working on cars. Now, 3 cars now, amen? You know, we were working on church then, and we didn't know anything about church. Now, YouTube also teaches you about car. From changing your brake pads, to changing your gasket. I just installed a new stereo that involved me taking out. I didn't even know that the car, the way they do it, you can take out everything and push it back inside. We had to take it out. I had to connect things to the reverse light so that the camera can be on. That was fun. Amen. There was no speaking in tongues. No Bible reading. He was just doing something with the hands and all that. And you come refreshed. So, I mean, do things like that together. Some of the things, even if you're having an issue, your furniture is broken down. I mean, especially guys, you don't need to call a furniture man. Get your YouTube. How do you use a hammer? Do it. As you're hammering, his stress is leaving you. You get, instead of taking out that on your wife, take it out on the chair. Do you get what I'm saying? Shows, you know, some good shows. Home makeover or whatever. And if you like beauty and fashion or whatever, you know, just something, do something different. It's summer. Amen. Winter is coming. Window shop. For some of us, shopping is stressful. Window shop. Do something, but don't do it alone. Amen. Do it with somebody. To the point that even, you know, what do you call it? We have different things that invigorate us. Like, I love politics. So like the convention that took place last week and the one that is coming up this week. I know we're traveling and all that. I'm still going to be stealing to watch it. Just watching those kind of, you know, and then I don't want to watch this. I call my children and say, come and listen. Come and listen. Let them hear both sides. Come and listen. Come and see, you know, you can learn something. You can learn something. All these people they are talking, all of them, they are either children of immigrants or whatever. You can learn something. You can see something. So fun. Doing it together. We're talking, hey, what happened? Who that is? Ivanka. Oh yeah. And we're going to be hearing, you know, the Democrats. So I'm telling you, try as much as possible not to make your whole life work.
Jesus did not make his whole life work.
And he was the one that was called to save the world. Not you. So let's take some time out. Did anybody get blessed?
Thanks again for joining us. Remember James 1:22, which urges us to not only be hearers, but also doers of the word. This message and more can be found on the web at www.thecitylight.org.